All right, our first crack at a national hour in 2025. Happy New Year. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the National Hour live. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, Jason Bukla will join us. Former head scout with the Florida Panthers. Does a terrific job on sportsnet.ca as well. We'll get into the World Junior Championships and the heck's going on with Canada, Sammy.
Don't look at me like that. Sammy's uptight.
Rick Dhaliwal will join us later on in the program as well because there's still a ton
going on. What's going on in Vancouver? Anything?
No, nothing.
No?
It's all quiet
Things
in Vancouver.
Are fine. Yeah.
I was saying to Bourne in the break.
Fever pitch.
There's just, it's a perfect storm of a team to cover for Vancouver. Mm-hmm. With it, when a market that's
pretty
already
media market,
yeah, like it's a you know, it's an already a pretty warm market at times, and it's a team that's supposed to be good that's underachieving with drama in the room, big injuries, coaching question, like you name it.
Talk at the mic is awesome.
Yeah, it's like, just it's as good as it gets, really,
a lot of
in
fun.
Terms of
and a team with massive potential,
big time.
It's just great.
Yep. So he's the co-host of Donnie and Dolly, the team on Czech television in Vancouver. And Rick will join us in about 30 minutes. I wrote an article, my article today for the Toronto Star, put some news and notes in there as well. And
oh, there's a note already.
There's one on the Vancouver Canucks.
Talk about burying the lead, pal.
Suggesting,
who cares about Matthew's injury? That's juicy.
So I did mention that the Vancouver Canuck management team may be growing tiresome and maybe leaning towards understanding that certain players in that room cannot coexist.
They need a divorce.
And they need to step in and maybe do something here.
Well, you know, the Petey and Miller stuff is not super new. Brad Richardson went on, what was it, Empty Netters? Or
missing curfew,
I think. Was in the room with both those guys and basically confirmed that, yeah, like Miller is probably in the right, is a great guy and a worker and all that, but he said he's really hard on Petey. Petey may be the type of guy who turns off rather than gets motivated by that constant. And eventually, yeah, it's, I believe they call it irreconcilable differences.
Wow. Big word there, pal.
Yeah, thanks. I do words.
Alvin had a pretty good discussion with Ian McIntyre that kind of pointed a finger at Petey as well for needing to step up and
deal
play,
with it,
play better, deal with it, whatever word you want to describe it.
PD aside, I don't think a lot of these guys who are superstar level talents encounter much friction or pushback on the way up to the NHL, right? Like they're great and they're great and they're great and everyone kind of like they can do it their way and eventually it gets hard.
You got to think though, like if you're the management group there, you're Alvin, you're Rutherford, at some point, you know, you're going to regret trading one of these guys regardless. Like, it really does feel like it's not going to feel good either guy that if you do trade them. But you can't let this ruin a hopeful season. Like, if this is truly the thing that's hanging over the, like, you're just going to let it rot your room to the core here? Like, if
I
it's really
they know
that
better
bad.
Than us, but
for
like,
sure. But
Friedge went on.
But there's every single person is just like, these guys can't stand each other at some point.
But it, the story's been out there in the media now. Fairly heavy now for a few weeks, if not longer. Who knows how long it's been going on behind the scenes before the media has really picked up on that.
Sure, it's years.
So they may just come to the point where they have to do something. They cannot just let it carry on in hoping and crossing your fingers that it's going to fix itself.
It's not going to fix itself.
You know, if they both want to be there, surely they would recognize that they can't let one bad relationship jeopardize their life. Like, keep in mind, they own homes and they live there and they have, like, you know, he can't let that one relationship just ruin it and get, you know, uproot your family and all that. You'd think they'd be able to work it out. If they can't and something so significant has happened, then yeah, it's like, I was going to say before, Elliot went on with Marchese and Fuda and said today that ideally they would still work it out. If there's any room for that, they have to try. They have to lock these guys in a room, go out to dinner, whatever, and get a firm answer. Can it be
fixed?
I think
they've tried that already.
Well, then it's happening. If they've tried it and we're at this part and it's out, it's happening.
That's the leaning part that I wrote about today was that.
Sick of it.
Yeah. I think.
So if you're those guys, you're saying, I would rather get dealt somewhere else.
Well, I get the impression that JT Miller doesn't want to go anywhere. And he's got a no move. And it might be rather difficult, I think. Mm. You can take all the calls you want on him, but this guy needs to green light it. I do believe that there's one spot he would maybe lift his no move, and that would be the New York Rangers. And they're looking.
Oh, of course, and he's the type of guy who make a difference in a room.
They want JT Miller.
They do.
So, like, you want to hear the easiest trade?
Okay.
Yeah.
Kreider from Miller?
Nope.
And Keandre?
Nope.
Okay.
Zibanejad.
Ugh.
Because Zibanejad. JT Miller goes to Rangers, Zibanejad, and then you can put whatever you want around it. But that's the trade.
Here's where I'm at on that, Kip. So I know that that's not like you just like, here's what I think works. Arthur Staple, who we had on the last hour, go ahead and listen to it, tweeted last week, hear me out, Zibanejad for Engvall. That's where Zibanejad's
No. Hey, listen, liked Arthur, nice 10 minutes, but you're crazy in the head.
It was a joke. But like,
Zibanejad's a good player, okay? He's a good player.
He has been for sure.
And I don't think he's a JT Miller.
Rotten season.
But he's at 8.5 million. Miller's at 8 million. They're both 31 years old. They both have 5 years left on their deal.
I think Zibanejad, you'd have to throw in like a first with him.
Well, whatever the case is.
He's
right?
A dash 22.
Dress it up any way you want. And I'm not suggesting that Zibanejad's a number one centerman.
Yeah.
But that's, to me, the deal that needs to be worked out.
I think if you're a Canucks fan, you're just
yelling at your TV, you're like, your radio.
You know, along the seawall, Kipper's an idiot. Kipper's an idiot. Well, in Stanley Park walking through. What the hell is he talking about?
Pull a defenseman out of there.
Yeah.
See if you can get Keandre Miller out of there.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Okay?
Yep.
But it's based off of those two contracts. Yep. At that age, with the same term left, build it any way you want. Okay, let's welcome in Jason Buchla, Pro Hockey Group, Sportsnet. Does a great job. There he is.
Oh, so he's at the rink?
Happy New Year, yeah.
Happy New Year, pal.
Just, listen, can I pipe in on that last
We would please. Love, we would love I've it. I was going to go with you for Vancouver before we get into the World Juniors.
Okay, good. I'm leading a slow death here. Zibanejad will drive Rick Tocchet around the bend, in my estimation. And he's got his best shift. It can really be productive and get it done. But the way that the Vancouver Canucks want to play, I'm with you guys. They'd have to throw in like a Keandre Miller, who's going to play that heavy set style in the back, kind of like what they wanted to get out of Darnay when they signed him, you know, to try and get into that. But I'll tell you, the money makes sense. But Zibanejad, he's got a lot of float this game for me.
But a talented guy, though.
40 goals, 90 points just 2 years ago.
The stock's plummeting a little bit. It's like the Canadian dollar right now. That's cool.
Well, one more on Vancouver before we get into what you're covering right now. And that's just, you know, you've been around pro hockey long enough here, Jason, and just what we're hearing out of Vancouver, and we've all been around in dressing rooms where we know not everybody gets along, but have you ever seen it to this degree, either with a team that you've been involved with, American Hockey League team, or other teams that you've heard of?
No, I have not. Way too much noise. It doesn't seem to want to go away. I'm a little bit perplexed here because Is it a JT Miller thing? Is it a Pettersson thing? Like, what is it? Because let's not forget, this is JT's third team. And, you know, some of this noise, I'll take you guys way back if I want to reflect. So way, way back in JT Miller's draft cycle, when we interviewed him for the draft and he came in and we just asked him the regular questions, you know, outside interests, outside of hockey, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he says to us, I like to fish. And I'm like, well, that's great. Like, so, you know, you and your buddies like get in the boat. Like, no, I like to back up a cooler, head off into the bush by myself, find a watering hole, and fish for the day. Maybe have a few wobbly pops, whatever the case may be. You know, he's a pretty honest guy.
What a guy.
But what it stood out to me about it was that he likes to go rogue a little bit on his own. You know, he's not really a inside guy, if you get my drift. And then he's gone through some situations here at the NHL. I love the guy as a player. I think he's exactly what Rick Tocchet likes in a player with the Vancouver Canucks. But at the same token, there's a lot of noise here leaking out of a room that's gone through a lot of different distractions this year, injury and leave of absence, your family's issues, et cetera. And they're coming off a hell of a year last year. So I thought they had it figured out, I guess, is what I'm trying to tell you. I thought they were building a culture there. And for this amount of noise to be leaking out, the last time I saw something this wild was when Tony DeAngelo was coming through the Sioux Greyhounds and turning pro. That kid couldn't escape noise, and it's followed him around the world.
Mm-hmm. I bet you if Tocchet had to choose Miller or Pettersson, he'd pack Pettersson's bags. Just saying.
I'm with you there, buddy. They had these two twins. They named Sedins. They played in Vancouver for years and years. Like those types of players are great players, but they're a certain type of personality. Mm-hmm. They're never going to change their spots. They are what they are, and maybe that's not what they want to get them to the next level. I don't know, but something's not working there. And I hate the noise, and it's going to make life really difficult on them in the second half here if they don't get this figured out.
Books, you're in media now. You love the noise.
All right, let's switch gears. Can you just look straight into the camera and talk our Sammy McKee off the ledge? Let him know that they're one win away from tonight,
and everything's disgusted.
Everything's just going to be fine with this Team Canada.
Well, listen, I got to tell you something. Between Sammy and J.D. Bunkus, I can't even watch the game. These two idiots are blowing my phone up all night long. You know, just losing.
That's 100% true. 100% true.
Yeah, but hey, it's warranted, and he's not alone. 18,600 people in the building. Well, I don't know, there's 500 American parents here, I guess, but you get my drift. And it's been, wow. I've truthfully, this is my 14th World Juniors, fellas. I've never seen anything like it. I still, to this moment, don't understand how this team identifies, what type of style they want to play. Are they, like, I thought coming in, they were going to load up, like, a heavy hard line with, like, Richie, Beaudin, maybe Porter Marteau, like, have those 6'3", 210-pound guys. You know, the old-school Canadian way at this event, muscle your opponent and then outwill them so your skill guys can start taking over. It just hasn't happened. They're 10th in the tournament in shooting percentage, 5.7%. I mean, we're talking Brad Marsh type of shooting statistics here, and it's alarming for a Team Canada at this event. And they got to stay out of the box, but more importantly, remember before the tournament, we talked about, you know, the value of scouts, what they put value in this tournament. High leverage situations, how can you handle the stress? What does it bring out of you, you know, the stressful situations? There's some guys on this team that just have not handled it well. Easton Collins was right at the front of the line for me. Gets an opportunity to bounce back tonight. We'll see what happens.
Okay, I want to get into Easton Cowan, but before that, and you know, I certainly speak for myself, and I'm hoping I speak for JB that we're not junior like expertise on the players, but we do follow it enough to understand where that narrative's headed so far. And you just touched on it a little bit when you struggle, when things don't go right, it's who's not on the team and who picked this team and what's their identity. And it all kind of surfaces no different in the pros or in junior now. So is this a big issue right now? Is not the guys there, but who's not there, including the third pick overall in the draft, I think is Seneca as well, who did not make the team. But is this a big problem right now on looking at their struggles, is that they just didn't pick the right guys?
I guess it's still to be determined. I would say this, that I think that this roster that they did select had enough or has enough to be much better than what we're seeing. So I don't think they presented the best version of themselves so far. And I got to be honest, I think it comes down to the way that the coaching staff has implemented a game plan around this group. I'll give you an example. Gavin McKenna, 60 points guys in 30 games in the Western Hockey League. He averaged coming into the tournament his last 10 game segment, 24 minutes a night. When you have a race car in the garage and you only put him out there for 12 minutes a night, he doesn't have the same feel, the same impact. And you also don't put your your opponent on their heels enough. Like, they're not pushing it in your opponent's face to make them think that they got to worry about anything. So I'm not even getting to that stage. I understand the noise. Would I have picked a few other players? Yes, Andrew Kristol from the Kelowna Rockets. They talk about his skating, but the Washington Capitol draft pick, he gets everywhere on time from point A to point B. And, you know, ask T.J. Ginla what it's like to play with that kid. He obviously was really benefit from playing with Kristol. And that's a guy. Seneca, another guy, big, huge body. I ran into him in the bathroom coming out. Like, I didn't run in the bathroom. You get my cheer for crossing pass in Oshawa at the CHL U.S. national team prospect game. This guy's a house. Like, he's put together and he scores goals. And again, there's another power body over 20 minutes a night. So I think this team has enough talent on balance. I don't think that they've been deployed properly. I don't think the game plan has been on point. And obviously the discipline hasn't been great either. But the good news is, if there is any, the goaltender's been fantastic, and they haven't given up an even strength goal yet. So I'll wait till Monday to look in the rearview mirror to talk about the rest of the roster. But I still think if they game plan it properly, this is a good enough team.
It's almost like this tournament has become such a big deal to showcase yourself individually. It's tougher to put sort of a collective effort, or maybe it's not tougher, but they just haven't done it. I'm looking at this Canadian team. And I watched last game. I think the Canadian team has 29 minor penalties, and the next closest is 22 in the tournament. It looks like some individuals who want to get noticed, and I am talking about Cowan here, who just aren't sure how to handle it, how to show it when it isn't happening for them at this point. I know McKee's telling me that it doesn't feel like the way that Canadians have played in the past. You know, what are you seeing from that style that, you know, taking a lot of silly individual minor penalties and... I know, it's weird out there right now.
Well, you know, I'll throw it back on everybody. You know, the three of us, the four of us here, like, you know, when we're under stress on our job or whatever, we all make dumb decisions. I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And these guys are teenagers, and they're under stress, and they know that there's a lot of attention on them. And yeah, they've made some really dumb decisions. But I'm going to tell you something else. If you think that you're going to be an NHL player, you're going to cash $1 million checks on my watch, this is part of the process. You have to be able to handle this, and you have to be able to show me that on your hardest day that you can make the adjustments that are required. And so far, that hasn't happened. So, you know, Cowan's penalty the other night the Americans go up 3-1 on the power play, but equally as egregious was his follow-up shift with the goaltender out when he, you know, laid a muffin out in the slot for the empty net goal. So I'm expecting that he's going to be able to, my expectation is that he's going to bounce back from that. There's some underlying things here, though. I have to say some positives. Like, Braden Jaeger is the captain of the team, and people are saying, well, he's not scoring and he's not producing to his identity offensively. You know how we've talked about on this show before, the B game, like you have to have a B game on your worst day, or like you're not scoring, you have to have something else. Like, Jaeger's been matching up against top forwards on the other team. He's 73% in the faceoff dot. This is a scorer from the Western Hockey League who's killing penalties, doing all these other things to contribute hopefully to the team results. And so there's some positives that I'm taking out of it as a scout. But there's still a lot of noise around the team because the expectation is that they should run the table. Everybody should score. Everybody should do certain things. That's where I come back to coaching and just the way that the group's been deployed, guys. Like, tonight especially, there's no tomorrow. So if you've got six horses going up front, they better have 22-plus minutes at the end of their score sheet by the end of the night. And Carter George obviously has got to play very well. But the Schaefer injury, isn't this alarming too? The 17-year-old defenseman, I think he's the best player in the world. I think he's the first overall pick. The 17-year-old goes out of the tournament and everything falls off the rails on the back end in terms of having that guy who can transport the puck and work offense from the back end. That's alarming for a 17-year-old.
So just on that note, I want to ask you one more on Easton Cowan. But just that 17-year-old that went down, who's touted as one of the best and maybe first pick overall, like, is this another reason why we shouldn't go to 17-year-olds in this tournament?
No, absolutely not. No, it's an opportunity. You take your best player, period. I mean, this is the best on best. Like Dalibor Dvorsky for Slovakia, and I know it's different. They don't have the population as Canada, but he's playing in his fourth World Juniors right now this week, guys.
Wow.
And you know, he's a St. Louis draft pick. He's got 11 tucks and springy in the American. You know how hard the American League is kid for your first year. The kid came out, scored 43 in Sudbury last year. He's got 11 tucks in the Springfield this year, and he's one of the leading goal scorers here. So no, you bring your best players, and that's just part of the process.
Fair enough. I'm going to swing this back. I know we had our Leaf Hour, but I think Westerners will like this question to you, and it's around Easton Cowan, and just we know he's the highest touted Maple Leaf prospect here, but you know, is this a typical Toronto thing when you overhype a guy to the extreme that Cowan had come into training camp and everyone thought legitimately would make the team, and it kind of can mess with your mind a little bit, and now you come here and you think that you're maybe a different type of player when you're really not? And because I've watched enough of him to go, buddy, that's just, it's not, you're not working hard enough. First of all, you're the right penalty that you're talking about, I've seen 1,000 times where you go and go, you're running a guy because you know you haven't done anything all game. Yep. And that's a hit. That's a hit that you make because you're feeling guilty about your last 57 minutes. And I'm just sitting there going that, you know, he's a good player. He can be a great player one day, but I think he doesn't know what type of player he's supposed to be in this tournament.
Yeah, so I think you just hit right on it. And I talked about it before he came to the tournament, and that is that you have to resort to, let's think back to his draft year. He had all kinds of momentum in the back half of his draft year, and he earned Dale Hunter's trust in London to elevate his responsibilities with the London Knights. Well, how did he get there? He played with relentless compete, tenacious, on and off the puck. Like, he tracked 200 feet, and his shift length was probably in around 43 to 46 seconds, somewhere in there. I'd have to look back, but I definitely can guarantee it was somewhere in there. And he played to an identity, which the result of that, you know, he produced offense, because when you're that relentless and you're playing fast, you're doing everything it did, it created offense. Now, his shift length here, guys, has been hovering around a minute. So the other night against USA, his first few shifts of the game, he played with that interior rat type of style that was hopefully going to open up some space for him and his line mates. But then when he didn't get the chances that he necessarily wanted early in the game, he resorted to long shifts, bad puck, habits, and obviously stupid penalties. So that to me is exactly what you just said. You have to be mature enough to, and part of it's on the coach too, but you as an athlete have to be mature enough to look, say, hey, listen, I got to get back to 38, 42 seconds of high energy play here. The rest will come. It doesn't all have to come right away. And he hasn't done a good enough job of that. So hopefully again tonight that's the case. But yeah, listen, Fraser Minton a year ago was captain of Team Canada in Gothenburg, fellas, and everybody was throwing rocks at a glass house. He trained really well, had a great offseason, and he got off to a nice start here after getting injured in training camp with Toronto. It's a process. There's going to be all kinds of ups and downs. He's still got top six upside. But I'm looking for way more discipline than getting back to play to his identity tonight, for sure.
Hey, Books, you know, for the Four Nations faceoffs, when we're picking Canadian goalies, it's been a lot of, Cam Talbot? You know, like, we're like, we don't have one. When's the next time we have Waugh, Brodeur, Price? Is one common?
Just
is one
those guys.
Well, I know, it's a ridiculous ceiling, but do we have a guy here, one coming?
Yeah, actually, Carter George is very good, Bourne. There's no question. He really is. Jack Ivankovic here, the backup and the draft eligible, he's excellent as well. And he's got some growth in him. I saw his dad in the lobby here. His dad's 6'5". The kid's only 5'11 now. I'm anticipating a growth spurt there, and he's going to get a little bit bigger. But there's some good news on the horizon between the pipes. But, yeah, there's absolutely another time when we get together. I had a fascinating discussion with someone from the Russian Federation, well, someone who associated with the Russian Federation the other day, about the Russian goaltending model. Next time I'm on, or maybe when we run into each other upstairs at Tim Hortons, I got some fascinating intel for you guys, because what they're doing in Russia with this huge goaltending model
drugs?
They have, it's well, it might be doctoring up birth certificates. Well, I can't. I'm not sure. They could be, but they also could be 2 years older than they are. I don't know. But all I know they have a plan in place.
All right.
Does it involve artificial intelligence?
cyborg right? Russians. Something's happening. It ain't right.
They
can't be this.
They're
much
cloning
better
a one eye. They're cloning a goalie right now with an eye in the front of his head and the back of his head. It's going to be unbelievable.
stay tuned.
You know,
right, this is where I'm sorry that I brought it up right now.
I'm sorry, I took it off the rails.
We've got a lot of people believing what you said right now about the eye, by the way.
Also, I'm
that's how crazy it is. Hey, Books, great stuff as always. Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for your time, my friend.
All right. I'll look forward to hearing from you, Sammy.
Yeah. Okay,
I'll talk to you later on.
I'll try to put the breathalyzer on my phone.
Thanks, Happy Books.
Happy New Year, fellas.
Happy New Year.
Jason Buchla, Pro Hockey Group, Sportsnet, Puckpedia, and former NHL scout.
Mm-hmm. So, Sam, we got to get you in on this. You're our resident World Junior expert.
Not expert, fan. I'm a fan.
What's going on?
That game against the States really pissed me off. Oh.
Yeah.
And I thought there was stretches of the game where they looked good and they carried the play, like, a lot through the second period. But I am looking at Dave Cameron a lot here, the coach. I mean, how does a team take 11 pounds? Like, and then to go out there and say, I can't address it, like, a lot of it has to fall on the coaching staff here. And by all accounts, they didn't pick a great team. He's overplaying his captain from junior. Like, there's a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, right up to the top. If if they lose tonight, it's going to go to Dave, but it's going to be like right to Hockey Canada.
It wasn't just Dave that made all the decisions on who comes to the team, but like he's the coach. He's going to wear it. And yeah, like I said before on Monday, they're teenagers, but this is the future of our national team. Mm-hmm. We need these guys to be good in big moments and play well because they're going to develop into the guys that play for our men's senior national team. And right now, the lights look pretty bright for these guys, and the Americans are shooting it off the post and in at every chance, and they look tougher. They look more engaged. It's not good right now.
Yeah.
And I really need a good performance tonight, and if they're going to play against the States probably in the semis, if they win tonight, it's like, I don't even know if I want that. Like, I'm horrified at the state of the team at the moment. So there, I'm done.
And it's stylistic too, right?
Like,
you don't love the way they're playing?
Yeah.
The type of hockey?
I don't know. I thought they were really intense against the States, and I thought they played well early, and they were throwing the body, and then they started to get down, and they started taking stupid penalties, a little bit of laziness, some dumbness. Ethan Cowan's taking a beating. Like, it's just hasn't been a great turn.
I feel like it's the Simpsons. I'm like, do the line. Do the Instagram hockey line.
Oh, sure. I mean, I thought it was less Instagram hockey against the States.
All right.
For sure. But, I mean, they haven't given up a 5-on-5 goal yet, so
that's crazy.
That's good.
That's crazy that everyone's all over them, and they haven't given up a...
And the goalie looks pretty good, but I thought,
the States beat him
clean
bacon.
4 or 5 times. I don't know.
The rest of the way, he's going to have to be their best player every night.
Yeah, 2 shutouts early in the tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he shut out his first 2 games he played in against Finland, against Germany. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's tough that the Leafs are playing across from it tonight. Man. We'll see how that goes. Oh, yeah, you guys will be watching closely, though.
Yeah, we're on the Leafers.
Game time?
Game time.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So a few games on the ice tonight, and you guys are on the panel tonight for the Leafs and Islanders. The Islanders and the Leafs, -115 for the Leafs, -105 for the Islanders. I think it's going to be a pretty even game tonight. Surprised by that number. I don't think the Leafs, I think they're factoring in that they just literally never play well. In this game.
It's just crazy. Leafs are first in their division, and the Isles are pretty close to last.
I'm going to tell you, I think they're right. I think that's a good number.
I think it is, too. I hate them for it because I wanted to bet it.
The Leafs go in there, and the Tavares... Like, the Leafs have never really played well against the Islanders since Tavares has been a Leaf. Like, it really kind of is the way it is. Like, I just remember them going in there.
I find that so strange, too, over the years with...
But am I wrong on that? I wonder what their record is. I should have looked that up, but it just feels like they haven't been great over the Tavares era there.
Yeah.
Some other Canadian teams on the ice tonight. The Ottawa Senators are in Dallas to take on the Stars. Tough one for the Sens. They're +165 underdogs.
You know what? Dallas kind of flagging a little bit. They're struggling. The Seguin absence is legit. I'd bet Ottawa there.
And the Calgary Flames are home for the hockey club. They're +100 on home ice. And the last Canadian team I'll bring up, the Winnipeg Jets are hosting the Anaheim Ducks. -270 Winnipeg on home ice against the woeful Ducks. And that's it. Good one tonight too. Rangers and Bruins, as well as Carolina and Florida, which is a great game. Florida Panthers -130.
You got a puck line on the Winnipeg? Can I get Winnipeg -1.5?
You can. -1.5. They are -105. They're not giving you much.
That.
They're not giving you a ton of value there.
I'd hit that one. I like
the Ducks. I'm praying to God that Gavin McKenna doesn't end up a Duck. You know, like there's a.
You want to see him. How about Chicago?
How about you just watch Anaheim more?
They stink.
How about that?
They stink. They've had 3 different rebuilds since Getzlaf left. They reek.
You should stay up and watch them.
Cutter Gauthier.
You know what the team I do watch is the Sharks. I'd like Gavin McKenna to go to the Sharks.
That'd be fun. That would be fun.
That'd be really fun. Anyways,
Thornton Marlowe.
That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, quick break here. Rick Dhaliwal will join us, co-host of Donnie and Dolly, the team on Czech television in Vancouver. PD versus JT coming to a head. Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Hey. We love drama on this show. We're the worst.
All right. Don't go away. We got answers for you, Vancouver. Back after these words.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night. It's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kipperos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Rick Dhaliwal will join us momentarily as we get into the Vancouver Canucks and what lies ahead, JB.
Yes, the Canucks currently fifth in the Pacific Division as Calgary passed them by a point, although Vancouver does have a game in hand, so they can certainly get that back. But yeah, strange, a pivotal point in the Canucks season, I would say, right now. A lot of noise around them, certainly a lot of talent, but struggling without to the D-man there. Sorry, last name.
Oh, Quinn Hughes?
Quinner.
No. Oh, yes. Yeah,
so, and Hronek.
And Hronek. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The, you know, pretty significant absences, so.
And it doesn't appear that Quinn Hughes is going to come back anytime soon.
Yeah.
Which is almost devastating.
Yes. These are problems they're going to have to solve. Maybe with K'Andre Miller. Was that what you were saying in the first hour, whenever it was we had that conversation?
I get the different styles between a Zibanejad and a JT Miller, but we'll see what Rick Dhaliwal has to say. Co-host of Donnie and Dolly, the team on Czech television in Vancouver. Rick, how are you, pal? Thanks for joining us.
When you get asked to go on Kipper and Bourne, you know you've made it.
Wow.
You made it.
Wow. You keep that up, you're going to get a regular spot.
Hey, and Bourne, hold it a second. I love this guy because, first, he's a BC-born guy. Second, yes, he played in the best junior A league in Canada, the BC Hockey League, the Vernon Vipers.
Yes. Proud alum, Rick. Wow. Proud of it.
I'll just go to this. I'll go to the cafeteria and let you guys just reminisce.
Chat it out. There's no shortage of BC hockey talk to be had right now.
So, Kipper, I read your book, and I'm going to tell you something right now. I have, and I've been covering hockey since 1990. I love guys that made the NHL undrafted. I mean, to me, that's the human spirit, perseverance, never giving up, and you know, I love guys. Because right now, you guys both know with these academies and parents spending 50, 60, 70 grand a year, and a lot of these kids aren't going to make it. And, you know, and especially out here, we got the Bantam draft, which is even tougher because now you're asked to have it all at the age of 14 to be drafted into the Western Hockey League. And we all know this is a long play. It's not a short play. So, you know, I read your book, Kipper, and I just love every hockey player. And we worry about late bloomers quitting because they didn't go in some Bantam draft. But I just love players that never give up and the perseverance and that human spirit. That's what it's all about for those kids that don't go in the draft.
Wow, Rick, I'm starting to love you too right now. Wow. Thank you, my friend. Where would we be without a little bit of, adversity in Vancouver when it comes to the Canucks? If it was just too quiet, it would not feel right.
This Pedersen-Miller issue, Kipper, I'm going to start here. Let me go here because there's a long way to start. Right. You got to go back.
The floor is yours, my friend.
Go grab a red wine. Listen. This Pedersen-Miller issue goes back to Travis Green and Bruce Boudreau. Management knew, players know, the agents know about this issue between those two. What's amazing to me is this story had died down. And then the GM a couple of days ago rips Pedersen, and the story's got legs again. You know, all these guys, social media, which is an incredibly hard thing and you know, social media, you know, these guys blame the media. The media didn't start this one. The team did. The GM ripped, you know, the star player. Alvin ripping Pettersson was a shot at him to get going. He is 3 months into an 8-year deal, and they're already threatening a trade. It was a wake-up call to Pettersson to be a difference maker. But also, Alvin sent a message to the rest of the teams in the NHL to see if more teams will call him. So Vancouver knows their options in case they move him. Now, the chatter around the Canucks in the league is very, very high these days. One team told me today they're checking in on Vancouver just to see who's available, who's not available, what's going out there in Vancouver. The Canucks have to listen to everybody that calls in case they decide to move one of them. But I'm not so sure that decision has been made to move either one. The calls for Miller and Pettersson are not going to stop. Vancouver's going to keep listening. But also someone told me today it may be better for the Canucks to make a move with one of these two in the offseason. One person close to the situation says, look, this is clearly now become a major distraction for the Canucks. Patterson's got two high-profile agents, and Pat Brisson and J.P. Barrie. They also represent Quinn Hughes. It's going to be really interesting, guys, for me to see how this plays out. The more they lose here, and I'll tell you something else, they got a tough, they've had one of the easier schedules in the National Hockey League up till today. Well, that schedule gets a whole lot tougher. This month is a really, really tough schedule for the Canucks. Quickly, I want to get a couple more things in.
Yeah, yeah.
When it comes to Pettersson, Rutherford, Alvin, and Tockett, Rutherford, Alvin, and Tockett, where do they come from? They come from Pittsburgh, yeah. Where the hardest working guy in practice and games was superstar Sidney Crosby. Sometimes I think these guys expect Pettersson to be like Crosby when it comes to the work habits and the way he carries himself, but that's not going to happen. He's a different guy. He's wired differently. He's not wired like Crosby. I think these guys want their superstars to act and have those habits that Crosby has. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, a couple of things on Miller. When I talked to the Americans about adding Miller to the Four Nations team, they told me that when they play Canada, you need guys like Miller, the snarl, the edge, the attitude, the skill, the heaviness. They love him. He's also a very much Rick Tocchet-type player. Let me say this about Miller. When he was on his leave, teams were calling Vancouver about Miller. The Canucks then picked up the phone and called Miller's agent and told him, hey, look, teams are calling. One thing that was made clear to the Canucks was that Miller was not going to ask for a trade. I said it a few weeks ago, and I'll say it again. I don't see Miller asking out. If the Canucks do decide to move him, it'll be on them. Them being proactive, not the other way around. He controls this process. Vancouver will keep informing his agent as we get more and more into it. Hey, Kipper, I heard you talking about Rangers, Canucks.
They're calling.
Okay. Oh, I know that. But listen, I wanted to tell you, the Canucks and the Rangers have talked about Miller for the past 2 years at the trade deadline. Vancouver asked for names like Alex Lafreniere and Braden Schneider in the past. I don't think Keandre Miller's a guy that interests them. I don't know. Things can change. But the Canucks' blue line's a mess, guys, without Hughes and Aronic. They're looking for a top-four defenseman right now. But as the team told me yesterday, have fun getting a top-four D. I mean, they're expensive. But the thing with Rutherford, you guys know, is that he can strike at any time, any minute.
What about strictly from an age difference, a much younger Pettersson? I think it's 5 years between him and JT Miller. Where does that come in to play for you, Rick, in terms of just giving up those years if you decide to move Petey instead of JT Miller?
Yeah, I asked somebody that, and I feel like what I said is this. You always keep the younger guy, especially if there's a five-year gap. But the problem out here is the reason the GM went in the press was to put heat on him and start playing better, be a difference maker. But if he doesn't change in terms of being a difference maker, he might not leave them any choice. Like, he's making 11.6, guys. You're in a Canadian market, a hot Canadian market, and, you know, everyone's bringing up his salary in Vancouver. He has underperformed to this day. I know people talk about injuries and everything else like that, but, I mean, Brian Burke said it best one day when he was here. He said the worst place in the world to have a big contract is a Canadian market, right? And this guy's got a fully loaded big contract, and he's been underperforming. And I think, you know, you want to keep the younger guy, Kipper, always. And there's he's 26. He's a first line center. But, you know, if they feel that they're not going to get the difference maker in the next few years out of him, then he might not leave them any choice.
Well, and it's fascinating, right? Because he's the younger guy. He's got this high offensive ceiling, but it just feels like the way that Rick Tocchet wants to play is more the JT Miller in your face. He said many times that he loves that sort of emotional element that Miller brings. Do you think that maybe there's just the Canucks are too hard on Pettersson, that if they were more accepting of the way he is, it's like Willie Nylander, you could still get a lot out of him if you didn't expect so much of that JT Miller fire? Or it's just, you know, he's or he really does. He really does need to change and have a little bit more spark. I don't know.
Well, 12 months ago, the Vancouver Canucks were a top team in the NHL. They had three or four guys in the top 10 scoring. Nothing went wrong for these guys. Nothing went wrong for these guys last year. Everything went right. And this year, nothing is going right, okay? So injuries to Demko and Joshua at training camp. Horrible home record. Inconsistent play. You beat Florida one night, and then you lose to a weak team the other night. The Miller leave of absence. The Miller-Pettersson issue. The GM rips Pettersson. It seems like every week there's a tire fire in Vancouver. One thing I do know, and I'll tell you this, both of you, is I think management believed in this core last year, and they thought this is the core that's going to be strong for year after year. I think the management is really surprised at what's happening this year. I think they expected the same, but here's what management's got to own up. They had 10 UFAs last year. When you have 10 UFAs, okay, you probably keep three or four or five. I don't know, but you're going to add five, six new guys. They added seven new guys to a roster that took Edmonton to game seven of round two. They came back with not a totally different looking team, but a lot of new faces. And, you know, the core is still there. I think they're really surprised, this management team, at where they are this year, but also they got to take some blame. You know, they let Zadorov and Cole walk and replaced with Forbert and Desharnais. Desharnais is ready on the trade block. He hasn't been great, although I have to say in the last two, three weeks, he's been much better. But you know what? That blue line's nowhere near as good enough as it should be. And here's the other thing for you guys. There's not much on the farm, you know, and you know, there's not much there that's screaming. Their two best prospects are Lakarimäki, a forward, and Willander, a defenseman in playing for Sweden at the Worlds, right up in your neck of the woods. They're up in Ottawa right now. And so, you know, I got to tell both of you, last year this time, like, Vancouver had a great season. Nothing went wrong. It wasn't until after the All-Star game in Toronto where some guys got tired and the play dipped and the schedule wasn't great. There was a lot of long road trips. But, I mean, nobody can really explain this year. The Pettersson and Miller were not an issue last year, and this year they are an issue.
So were you surprised or not surprised when ex-Canuck Brad Richardson revealed some details about their relationship on a podcast, Missing Curfew, this week?
You know what the funniest thing about that podcast was, Kipper? That Richardson only played 17 games in Vancouver. He in 2021, he was only here for 17 games to witness. Yeah. So he's basically giving you the goods on Pettersson and Miller after playing 17 games in Vancouver that year. So that was kind of, hey, look, I know I'll say it again, the people blame the media, but this thing goes back to Travis Green and Bruce Boudreau. Go ask those two guys. Like, if you go ask every teammate that played in there, but you know what? Look, you guys have played in dressing rooms. I played in dressing rooms. Everyone's been in a dressing room. Not everyone gets along. But I just don't understand why this is keep lingering. Like, if it was pre-Travis Green, Bruce Boudreau, why are we still talking about it 4 years later, right? That's what I think, yeah.
One thing I will say, Rick, when I hear people say that, you know, not everybody gets along, it's true. But when you lift a Stanley Cup, you don't hear those words.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like, you put it behind you for the good of the
team.
No
one ever talks about we didn't get along, but we still found a way to get it done. Mm-hmm. It's just, it doesn't work. Okay?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work.
No, and you got to have all 21 guys on the rope pulling the same way. And I don't think it's ever affected them in a game. I think these are two professional players, Pettersson and Miller. Look at last year, guys. They were having a great season. They were you know, 90, 100 points. I mean, like, these guys were, but, like, I agree with you. Championship teams do all pull the rope in the same way. But, I mean, it's just, it's become this big story in Vancouver this year, and it wasn't a story last year. And I'm not going to, you can't blame the media on this one. The GM comes out a few days ago and just reignites the fire. Like, I mean, nobody, like, Pettersson left that presser 2 or 3 weeks ago on Hockey Night in Canada where he got mad at the media and he left. And then it kind of died down after that. But, I mean, these guys are fueling the fire. Hey, Kipper, I heard you talking about, you know, the Canucks in a major shakeup. Here's what I want to tell you about a shakeup. Canucks wake up this morning out of the playoffs in the West, okay? And they're in Seattle tonight. You guys know Jim Rutherford. He won't put up with this much longer, but he's also stuck. Canucks are not an asset-rich team. They've traded away so many draft picks the last few years. Last time the Canucks used a first- and second-round draft pick in the same draft was 2019. Four times they've traded a second-rounder in the last 5 years. This year they don't have a third. Next year no third. No second in 3 years. A lot of those picks were traded to get rid of bad contracts, which makes it even more infuriating. That's why there's not much on the farm. The Canucks should be calling and listening on everybody not named Quinn Hughes. But teams know that Vancouver's in a pickle. No one's going to help them. Prices are high. But one of the problems they have is if you want a top four defenseman, okay, look at the Pettersson guy. They had interest in him in Pittsburgh. Well, don't you think the Penguins are going to want a first-round pick? Last year, Rutherford used a first and a second-round pick because he thought he had a shot at the Stanley Cup. You honestly think today they have a shot at the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, excellent stuff, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. Yep. It's going to be tough for him. Wow.
Very tough.
Hey, Rick.
Very tough.
You brought the heat today, bud.
Good stuff.
Okay, listen, I want to get in one last thing because I think this is important. Just give me some time here. I want to say to you guys how lucky you are that you have Chris Tanev. because I covered this guy.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been in this stupid industry for 34 years, and I've met a lot of hockey players. I don't think I've met a better hockey player slash person than Chris Tanev. So the Canucks tried to get him last year out of Calgary, right? So players went to management. Canuck players went to management and said, get Tanev. He, you know, that just shows you how much he's loved here. Not only is he a warrior on the ice, but this guy's got character off the ice. Off the
no
charts.
Question.
Off the, I could tell you stories for 2 hours.
Well, we'll get you on again soon, my friend.
If Tanev never left Vancouver, and he did because of poor management, he would not have let this Miller-Pettersson issue last as long as it has.
He can work a dressing room as well as anybody. Hey, Rick, we got to go, bud.
Okay, go. Go.
Love your stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks Rick so much. Rick, appreciate it.
Oh, my God. He could talk a pit bull off a meat wagon.
That's good stuff, man. That's great. Hey. We'll get him back. We'll get him back.
That was 22 minutes of opinions.
Wow.
Buddy, we could have done 200 minutes.
he did shed some light on it, though. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Awesome.
All right. What else we got here?
Just saw this. This is maybe.
By the way, we failed to ask him about Besser, which was.
Oh yeah, you wanted to talk about Besser? Yeah. There was a Doug.
We need, we need 2 hours. For
I was
him.
Thinking about it.
It's a Doug Gilmore thing. Today is the anniversary of the trade that brought Doug Gilmore to the Leafs on January 2nd, 1992.
30-player trade or something.
Flames received Gary Lehman, Alexander Gadyniak, Jeff Reese, Michael Pettit, and Craig Berube. The Maple Leafs received Gilmore, Jamie McCown, Rick Natras, Kent Manderville, and Rick Walmsley. That's a bomb.
You know what? They don't make them like they used to.
Let's just have that happen
now. They
don't
make them like they used to. You got 11 guys who can still play in the league in one trade.
Hey, how many players is that?
I don't know.
We had a suspension today, didn't we? Nice.
Yeah.
Jared
LaRue.
LaRue on a slew foot.
More like LaPoo for that play.
Brutal.
Jared Spurgeon.
So dangerous. I hate it.
I think an MRI today. I've not heard what the damage is, but everybody's saying he's going to be out a while here.
Brutal. That's a huge loss for them.
Huge.
And like LaRue, I think he was fined earlier this year. Like he's
that's got, greasy.
I hated that play.
Greasy.
Play. I could have really snapped.
What did he get?
3 games.
Does
I know.
It make sense? 3 games for a guy that may be out for months?
It doesn't. I don't love that one. That was pretty serious to me. By the way, dude, I don't know what the timing was. We never talked about the Rempe suspension, which was a bomb of a suspension.
Oh, yeah, we never talked about
wow.
Yeah. They never talked about anything.
Well, they took us off the air for a week.
I know. Yeah. Guess they don't want us on the air.
All right. Our thanks to Rick Dhaliwal for joining us in the first hour. We had
Arthur Staple
and Jason Buchla also. Enjoy your night tonight. If you get a chance, catch Justin and I on the Leaf Edition, Sportsnet Ontario. Have a great night, everybody.